You trip on the stairs and fall. What's the first thing you do? If you're like most people, you look around to see who witnessed it. If you're alone, no problem. If you're in front of your boss or your heartthrob or the viewing audience of the Academy Awards, it's a whole different story. You might feel like you want to crawl into a dark hole and never come out. In this podcast episode, I'll offer tips to help you and your child more effectively manage embarrassment. Welcome to the OCD Power Parenting Podcast. You're most likely here because you're a parent who wants to do everything in your power to help your child get to the other side of OCD. On the other side, your child, and not your child's OCD, is in the driver's seat of his or her life. I'm Dr. Vicki Rackner, and I wear three hats as I speak with you today. First, I'm the mom of a son diagnosed with OCD when he was in college. We're now 7 years into our OCD story. Second, I'm a surgeon who spent many years treating breast cancer patients. And third, I'm a coach who spent 2 decades helping physicians and business owners get better results. I use all of these experiences to help you rise to the challenge of parenting a child with OCD. Let's dive into today's episode. Imagine going up to a complete stranger and asking, "Do you have sex with men, with women, or both?" Well, that's exactly what I had to do when I started seeing patients in medical school. Back then, AIDS was called the gay plague, and we knew that sexual habits played a big part in the bigger health picture. The first couple of times I asked, I was embarrassed. I'm sure my face turned the color of a ripe beefsteak tomato. Over time, though, discussing the things that happened between the closed bedroom and bathroom doors became normal for me. I called them the embarrassing P's, peeing, pooping, and procreating. My face didn't get red anymore. This is just what people in my new tribe of doctors did. The consequences of not doing so were profound. I once had a patient who literally died of embarrassment. She was too embarrassed to tell the doctor about the blood in her stool. When the doctor didn't ask, she didn't tell. And when the colon cancer that led to this blood was finally diagnosed, it was too late. Embarrassment is the powerful feeling you get when you stand out rather than fit in. Usually, people get embarrassed when they stand out in a bad way. But some people get embarrassed when they're called out for doing something above and beyond. Why is tripping such an embarrassing thing? Why does your face turn red? Why do you want to run and hide? Well, let's get back to the way the brain works. Think about your brain as a three-story house. On the upper level, you have the thinking brain. On the main level, you have the feeling brain. Then, in the basement, you have the reptile brain. This is the part of the brain that takes care of the basic functions of living. And remember, your brain's number one job is to keep you alive. Well, what happens when you have a new thought? It depends. Let's say you're a CPA working on taxes. You're in the thinking brain. Then you remember, oh, I need to pick up milk on the way home. This is an emotionally neutral thought. You stay in your thinking brain. Let's say I'm working on my latest book and something reminds me of my mother who died this year or my brother who died last year. I could go from my thinking brain to my feeling brain to process my sadness. Let's say you're driving and someone runs a red light and almost hits you. You swerve almost reflexively. Your activated reptile brain prepares your body to do whatever's needed to save your life. If you or somebody you love has OCD, a wiring glitch in their brain presents disturbing, unwanted thoughts or images. These thoughts or images usually go directly into the basement reptile brain. Before they even start processing the thought, their body gets ready to fight or flee. The racing harder, the sweaty palms reinforces the belief that something really bad is happening. So what does all of this have to do with embarrassment? Well, the red face of embarrassment happens instantly, just like the racing heart and sweaty palms. It's not under voluntary control. But you don't lose your life when you trip. You don't get red face when you're about to be robbed. Why is embarrassment part of the flight or fight response? Could it be that in a hunter-gatherer society, a member's trip and fall could let a predator know your location? Maybe, but maybe there's another way of explaining it. Embarrassment is the feeling you get when you recognize you're not fitting in. One of the consequences of not fitting in is the risk of getting kicked out of the tribe. That could mean the difference between life and death. Even the description mortified contains the Latin root mors, meaning death. The red face of embarrassment tells others, I broke the code, I know it, and now I know you know it because I know you can see my red face. This is a core survival strategy. You see, the reptile brain knows how to do four things when life and death are on the line. You already know about fighting and fleeing. Freezing is a third option. However, there's a fourth option called fawning. It's where you face the person who represents the threat and try to appease him or her. If a dog rolls on his back and shows its belly, it's saying, I'm no threat to you. That's what the red face of embarrassment does. How many emotions can you see from across the room? You can learn how to read faces and pick up clues that someone is hungry or tired or in love. However, the red face of embarrassment is not subtle. When we decide how to respond to the experience of feeling embarrassed, we're informed both by the actual circumstances as well as the body's response that tells us that life and death is on the line. Further, our brains contain cells called mirror neurons. We can catch another person's embarrassment. Why address embarrassment in a podcast about OCD? Well, many of the behaviors associated with OCD fall outside the norm. If others witness them, they could be the cause of embarrassment. Imagine you see someone in the parking lot at the mall. Instead of just unlocking the car door and getting in, a woman makes three counterclockwise revolutions around the car, does seven push-ups, then makes three clockwise rotations followed by seven burpees. While you don't know this by looking at her, she won't park next to a car with a license plate that ends in an odd number. That looks like crazy behavior. We all like avoiding crazy. Crazy is unsafe. Now let's say that your 19-year-old son with OCD has the same rituals around getting in the car. Your son would agree that this is crazy behavior. Your son wants to give it up. However, the OCD brain wiring glitch makes that difficult. Most importantly, your son knows that he will be embarrassed if anyone sees these rituals. Your child may feel like he or she needs to hide until they do a better job of managing OCD. But here is the truth. Hiding makes OCD worse, not better. Hiding makes things more dangerous, not safer for our kids. Secrecy leads to shame that leads to growing OCD. Learning how to manage embarrassment is a skill that can help your child get to the other side of OCD. They say you don't die from a snake bite. You die from the poison that's injected. The sensations you have when you experience embarrassment are like the snake bites. It's a biologic response over which you have no control, like you're knee-jerking when a doctor taps it with a reflex hammer. However, the judgments and the actions that you take on once you feel this embarrassment are the poison. Your biology is not your destiny. You can decide how to respond to your biology and get a different outcome. I learned how to ask my patients, do you have sex with men or women or both without getting a beet red face? I learned how to take the poison out of embarrassment so I could do what I wanted to do. Here are some things that can help you and your child and all of your family members take the poison out of embarrassment and get on with life. Step number one is demystify embarrassment. So the very first step is to help your child understanding what's happening in their brain and their body when they're embarrassed. You can say to your child, feelings are like the warning lights on a car dashboard that convey a message. Embarrassment is the very uncomfortable feeling you get when you stand out rather than fit in. Think about driving on a highway in which there are those bumps on the lane dividers. Embarrassment is like the bumps reminding you that you're drifting outside of the lane of socially acceptable behavior. Then you can continue. Part of your brain that's active when you feel embarrassed is the same part of the brain involved in the flight or fight response. Your body thinks that this is a matter of life and death, even though you know intellectually that it is not. Maybe you want to invite your child to listen to this podcast episode. Step number two, normalize embarrassment. You could say, you know, everybody does embarrassing things. Sit down together and watch an episode of America's Funniest Home Videos. Tell stories about other people who do embarrassing things. Jennifer Lawrence was already one of my favorite actors, and she got even more of my respect when I saw how she managed her trip and fall on the way up the stairs to accept her Academy Awards. Once she arrived at the podium, she laughed. Then she said to the audience who rose to their feet, "You guys are just standing up because you feel bad that I fell, and that's embarrassing." Jennifer nailed the formula about how to respond to embarrassment. Own it, call it out, laugh. Jennifer Lawrence, if this podcast somehow finds its way to you, please know that my intention is not to embarrass you. It's to show people in my community, look, this is how you do embarrassment. I'm celebrating you. And if Jennifer, if you feel traumatized, I apologize. Give me a call and we can brainstorm possible healing rituals that might involve your Academy Award. You're a badass and I love your movies. Step number three, don't hide. When you're embarrassed, you will want to hide. Hiding makes the poison flow. It keeps your kids stuck in the dark side of OCD, where OCD is in the driver's seat of your child's life. To get to the other side of OCD, help your child find a safe way and a safe place to talk about embarrassing things. Encourage your child at the very least to write in a journal. Maybe they have a friend who also has OCD and they swap embarrassing stories. Maybe you're that safe person. You can find an OCD community today where it's safe for you to be who you are and where it's safe for your kids to be who they are. It's like me going to medical school. I learned not to be embarrassed about certain taboo behaviors because these were normal inside of my tribe of doctors. Here's another option. Encourage your child to participate in my OCD Confessions campaign. I'm inviting people with OCD and the people who love them to send in an anonymous postcard with the embarrassing, secret, or even shameful stories they work so hard to hide. Get out your markers and paints and free your inner artist. I'll leave the address in the podcast notes below. Those are the three basic principles for managing embarrassment. Demystify it, normalize it, and don't hide. Now, let's take it up a level. Let's say your child is embarrassed because they think a friend witnessed the car ritual. Your child thinks his life is over. They ask you, "Can we just move so I never have to see these people again?" Well, what do you do? As always, you want to meet your child where he or she is at. If your child is mortified, maybe you don't say anything. You can just embrace your child in a hug and sit with them. If they say something like, "I want to die," know that you will want to jump in and fix it. Instead, begin by sitting with the embarrassment and listening empathically. Say, I hear you. Embarrassment can be so hard and so painful. After your child knows that he or she has been heard, you can offer a different perspective. You could say, you know, everybody does embarrassing things. Your friend who saw you outside the car has been embarrassed. I promise you, it happens to everyone. Maybe you can tell stories about times you were embarrassed. Like the time my cousin loaned me her car. She decided to drive from Connecticut to Boston to catch a direct international flight, and she invited me to use her car when she was gone. I told her I was nervous because Boston had such a high rate of auto theft. She said that she wasn't worried. So the day after my cousin left, I drove her car to a Boston suburb for a shopping trip. I came back to the block. I thought I parked my cousin's car, and it wasn't there. I was freaking out, but I was in luck. I saw a Boston police officer drive by, and I frantically waved him down. He came out of his car, and I said, I want to report a stolen car. He took out his shoulder mic and started calling it in. He asked, what's the make and model? And he was not impressed when I told him it's a four-door brown car with Connecticut plates. He said, annoyed, can't you do any better? I looked up and down the street to find a similar car, and I saw my cousin's car about a block away. I said with glee, I found my car! The officer just replaced his mic, looked at me with disgust, and said, get it together, lady. Well, whenever somebody tells a story about something embarrassing in my family, we say, get it together, lady. Getting back to your child might ask you, well, this friend, what do I do? Do I talk to my friend? Ignore it? Now, before you go there, let me ask you a question. Do you get embarrassed by your child's rituals? Let's say you go to the mall with your son and a stranger frowns as she watches your son circle the car and do the mini workout. How do you respond? You are in the best position to help your child if you've already done your own work around embarrassment. We get embarrassed as parents because we believe we're held responsible for our kids' behavior. When my son was very young, he got me excited about baseball. We regularly went to Seattle Mariners games. Now, Mariners fans are very polite. If the pitcher walked a batter, the crowd was likely to say, "You'll get him next time." Well, I took my son to a Yankees game before they tore down the old stadium. As we sat in the stadium, we just looked at each other in disbelief as we watched the way the fans yelled at their own players. We broke out laughing when we heard a fan yell out, "You bum!" A week after this trip to New York, we went back to another Mariners game. The pitcher was having a tough day. After he walked two batters back to back, my son shouted out, "Send him back to the minors." I could see heads whipping around to see who said that. It's not how Mariners fans behaved. I'm sure I blushed because I was responsible and accountable for this person, and he just broke the tribal rules. If you're embarrassed about your child's car ritual, it reinforces your child's embarrassment. Do your own work first. Your goal is to get to the point where you can say with emotional neutrality, "Yep, that's my child doing the car ritual," just like you'd say, "Yep, the sun is out today," or I asked, "Do you have sex with men or women or both?" Here's an exercise I learned from Emmy Award-winning comic Bill Staton. Imagine a video camera following you around. The magic microphone even captures your thoughts. Now, imagine you deliver this video to the writers of a late-night comedy show. How would the host describe your day in the monologue? Unkind comics get laughs at the expense of others. Kind comics poke fun at themselves. In Judaism, embarrassing others in public is considered a serious crime. Don't embarrass your child. Instead, poke fun of yourself. If it feels right, you can invite your child into this exercise of viewing life through this comedic lens. Your child may or may not be there yet. I often judge the state of my own mental health by the amount of time that elapses between the embarrassing event and my ability to laugh at it. Now, let's get back to your child who wants to know what to do about the friend who witnessed the OCD ritual. You can begin by asking your child, well, what do you think? He or she might say, well, maybe my friend didn't see it, or I'll just wait and see if anything blows up at school. You could respond, great options. I wonder though, in the past, your OCD is kicked up when you consider what other people think about you. What would you do if that happens? Then let your child come up with his or her own answers. This also might be the time to explore whether your child wants to come out to his friend. I'm not talking about coming out as gay, but rather coming out as a person learning to manage OCD. Take the temperature very carefully before you suggest this. Your main goal is to create a safe place in which you and your child can have a conversation. Even the thought of letting others know about OCD can feel very dangerous to your child. You can ask, do any of your friends know that you're learning to manage OCD? And if yes, well, what happened when you shared that information? Let's say that your child is willing to explore the idea of having an honest conversation with his friend about OCD. You can ask, well, what would you say to your friend? Your child might know exactly what he or she wants to say. If not, you can ask, would you like some help? This gets back to a core principle about parenting an adult child with OCD. Please get in the habit of asking for permission before offering help. It's just a basic form of respect. If they say no, then just stop. If your child says yes to your offer of help, you might say, well, how about if we role play? You can be your friend and I can be you. Okay, so here's me being you. Hi, Ben. I'm not sure, but you might have seen me circle my car and do push-ups and burpees. You might have wondered what that was all about. I normally don't like to talk about it because it's embarrassing, but I have this crazy brain wiring glitch called OCD. It's not that I have a clean room or line up pencils because I don't. It's like an OCD bully lives in my brain, telling me to do crazy things or else very, very bad things could happen. It's hard for me to talk back to this OCD bully, and I'm working very hard to make that happen. This is a strange and embarrassing condition. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to talk with you about what it's like for me to live with OCD. Then you could swap places with your child. Let your child take that message, massage it, and put it into their own words. Remind them that practicing this conversation will make the real conversation more natural and easier. Again, safety is always first. Let your child decide when and with whom they share this information. Also know that OCD impacts all family members. You might want to have these conversations about embarrassment with your partner or your parents or your other kids or your kids' teachers. So let's wrap this up. The main point of today's episode is that we all do embarrassing things. When you experience embarrassment, your mind and your body both respond. It feels like life and death could be on the line. You will want to go and hide. That's your biologically wired response. When your child with OCD does that, they move closer to the dark side of OCD, where OCD is in the driver's seat of your child's life. OCD just gets bigger and stronger. Biology doesn't have to be destiny. In this podcast, we talked about some options to help your child manage their response to embarrassment. This is a critical skill to help your child get to the other side of OCD, where your child and not your child's OCD is in the driver's seat of their life. Please also remember that OCD impacts everyone who is important to your child. You and your partner and your other kids and your parents and your kids' teachers can all improve their skills too. Now, would you like to translate some of these ideas into action? Here are three options. The first is to participate in the OCD Confessions campaign. Mail in an anonymous postcard in which anyone in your family shares something embarrassing about living with OCD. Make it a work of art. I'll leave the address below. I will be sharing these postcards in the community. Second, I invite you to consider joining a community of parents of kids learning to manage OCD. In our OCD Power Parenting community, we primarily support the parents of kids in their late teens and early 20s managing OCD. By the way, the average age of onset of OCD is 19. Third, invite your child to join a community of kids learning to manage OCD. My son, who is 24 and 7 years into his OCD journey, will be moderating a group for people in their late teens and early 20s learning to manage OCD. I'll also leave a link below. Thanks for stopping by and listening. I hope that you found value in this episode. Please feel welcome to share this episode with your child. Ask what he or she thinks. Please also feel welcome to share it with the people who are there to support your child. Your child's champions might include family, friends, and teachers. I'm pleased to announce that we're about to launch our course for the people who want to join the ranks of OCD Power Parents. While all parents are welcome, we'll focus on parenting a child with OCD, car keys, and credit cards. If you'd like to get on the waiting list and be the first to know when we open the doors, you can sign up below. If you don't want to wait for help, I have a limited number of spots for one-on-one coaching. If you want some custom help, please feel welcome to grab 15 minutes on my calendar to see if we're a good fit. I'll leave the link below. I'm sorry in advance if you reach out and all of the coaching spots are filled. If you're interested in making a transition from just treading water to getting back to the joy in life, act quickly. Thanks again for listening. You can do this. Your child can do this. Go from strength to strength.